The first one is, this is the one that I have probably the most story to tell about. Anyway, to give you the title, it's a series of albums called Environments. The first one was released in 1969, and they kind of stretched over, I think, a little more than a decade. This album is called Environments, Totally New Concepts in Sound, number 4. This track is called Ultimate Thunderstorm. I've just found myself incrementally getting more and more drawn into this series of albums, somewhat improbably perhaps, but it's just an improbable series of albums. The single-handed work of a guy called Irv Teibel, who was a field recordist, graphic designer, photographer, based in New York, and he became really interested in environmental recordings. And these were the first of their kind, as far as I can work out. He was a real innovator in the field. I mean, now we it's very easy to associate them with sort of slightly wafting, you know, I guess apolitical, you know, maybe disengaged kind of, you know, new age kind of culture. And there's certainly, there's been a lot of multiplication of this kind of work. So it's hard, sometimes it's hard to disentangle, you know, what we make of, you know, more innovative contributions to a field that then becomes kind of somewhat saturated. But I did partly get into these because the recordings have drawn me in. And I've said this before, there was this thing during the pandemic in particular where a lot of people got into listening to ambient music, and I just found myself just getting into environmental music, basically. And there was this early part in particular of the pandemic where, you know, there's no traffic, there were no planes, and you go on these walks, if you know, which you're allowed to do, into like, you know, local park. And it was like this, there was this incredible rebound of nature, and it was like, you know, it's really beautiful kind of oral experience. And I just found myself getting so drawn into it there. And anyway, this good friend of mine, and you know him really well as well, Jim Martin Beck, who's a New York based artist from Austria originally, who did this really interesting series of works called Last Night, which draw on the what was actually the penultimate party at David Mancuso's Prince Street Loft. Those tapes were published by Simon and Guillaume on their radio station Deep Frequency, whilst we were, you know, in the fairly early part of running Lucky Cloud Sound System together with David when he was coming over to New York. And that publishing of those tapes, which were recorded by Francois Kevorkian, kind of led them to circulate, and, you know, lists were produced that identified all the tracks, and Martin got involved with this, and then got involved with this, you know, this series of records. This is his follow-up project, if you like, called Environments. And I've been seeing, you know, PDFs of this project, this art project, as it develops, and it's very interesting indeed. The albums are interesting, the artwork is interesting. I mean, I suppose there might be something, a way in which, you know, this has become repoliticized, given that we're hurtling into an unprecedented environmental crisis as well, ecological crisis. So maybe there's a new politics that kind of overrides their new age-iness. Anyway, so there was Martin was doing this, and while kind of doing some work on this current book that I'm working on, which goes back to delves a bit more into, you know, what David Mancuso was up to, I kind of realized that, you know, went back to an interview in which David discusses these albums, which I'd completely forgotten about, or I hadn't registered because I didn't really know what he was talking about. They had sort of registered, I just didn't know that it was the same thing that Martin was doing his piece about, or that there was this whole series of albums. But David talks about, you know, playing these Environments records and being really into it. And of course, David's whole aesthetic, you know, in some respects was informed by the amount of time he would spend in the countryside, sometimes or maybe even often tripping and kind of tuning into the natural rhythm of the day, you know, the quiet of the quiet of dawn, and then, you know, as the kind of, you know, the, it reaches a certain crescendo of activity and then kind of settles back down after dusk. So there's all of these intertwining thematics here. And with this particular one, The Ultimate Thunderstorm, I picked this one out because it was released in 1973, I think, possibly 74, but I think it was 73. I should check. But this, but it kind of evokes this Frankie Knuckles discussion, or contribution, I should say, or, you know, comment, really, in an when I interviewed him and was sort of beginning to discover just how many different people were getting into going to the loft. Frankie would talk about going, you know, the experience of going to the loft, and it just, you know, people tripping, it being very hot, it being pretty crowded, and it just being larger than life. And Frankie kind of evoked this sort of experience in which, you know, there'd be all this music, and then you would hear this thunderstorm. As the thunderstorm is sort of playing, you know, suddenly you'd feel this wind, because David would turn on these fans to create the effect of, you know, whether it was intentional or not, I don't really know. But this is how Frankie remembered it and narrated it. Yeah, so as I was just doing a little bit more, trying to work out which album was released when, I was like, oh, okay, so this one was released in 1973. This is probably, you know, it wouldn't have been played in the first 3 years, 1970 or 72, necessarily, of the Broadway loft, but probably David did play it in 1973, and probably Frankie Knuckles was remembering it. Yeah, some of these albums, I mean, I've actually bought like 8 of them recently. They're quite cheap, and they're really good to work to. And so, yeah, I'll just say, I know I've been going on a bit, but this Irv Teeble, who does the liner notes as well, he really has a very interesting way of thinking about these. I don't know if he's originates the term, but he certainly seems to have a new understanding of, you know, the idea of what a psychoacoustic experience might be. And he's very into the way that it can kind of, you know, benefit concentration, it can be kind of relaxing, it can allow the humans to kind of just connect more effectively, work more effectively, concentrate more effectively, relax more effectively. So it just changes your experience of your environment. And there's one little line where he sort of, I mean, there's lots of lines like this in the various notes that he produced it, but he talks about transporting the listener to a space that is different from the one they are currently inhabiting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's really interesting. The whole continuum between like field recording and ambient and early new age and experimental electronics and mixed media, like in the 70s, I think is really fascinating. You know, partly it was, a lot of this stuff was commercially viable because it was the peak of sort of domestic audio culture. So people were more likely to have a fairly high quality sound system in their living room than at any other time in history. So there was a market for this, a lot of this sort of music, which mostly works best in sort of immersive analog contexts and domestic or quiet domestic contexts.